appreciate that, because hey, the Lord reminds us that we're just sinners saved by the grace of God. And that's all I am. I don't have anything in myself to boast of or pride about. But it's all Him. Thinking that He loved me enough that He sent His Son to die on the cross that I might have life. And I praise Him and I thank Him for that today. Appreciate that singing. Appreciate the lesson. How the Lord spoke to our hearts in the Sunday school lesson. And I appreciate that. I asked Adam if he wouldn't plan to preach for us, had a Botox injection at the end of the week. It all went well, but you know, by now, golly, God, takes me a little bit to get golly sitting back down with it. And everything, hope to do the service on Wednesday night. And then by next Sunday, again, here in the pulpit. But I appreciate being able to fill in for us today. So I'm going to ask him to come on around, preach for us, carry out the service as he feels led and the Lord. Pray for him. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. And thank you. Appreciate you.
Scripture this morning, today in Philippians chapter 2. We was singing last Sunday. The Lord kind of showed me where we need to be. That song we were singing about, that's Him.
Yeah.
He just kind of led me this direction from there. If you find your place, I'll invite you to stand. Prepare me to read of God's Word. Philippians chapter number 2, and verse number 1, it says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I'll ask Ronnie if you would to lead us in a word of prayer.
Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you once again, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in the house, Lord. Just thank you for what we've received so far, Lord. Just thank you for the good singing, the good Sunday school lesson, Lord. Just actually to be with Brother Adam here as he stands before us here to preach whatever he laid on his heart, Lord. I ask you to have us to have an open heart to take it in like we need to take it in, Lord. Lord, just be with Brother Adam to have him just preach however he needs to preach, Lord. Lord, I ask you if there's any sin, sick, and lost that don't know you, come to know you before it's turning too late.
As we look in the verses here, we see Paul writing to the church of Philippi, and he gives some encouragement to live right in the first few verses. And as we look at our lives, we often see that we are Christians and saved and on the way to heaven, but we're not very motivated at times to serve the Lord. We get too often, we're sidetracked. We've got so much going on in the world in which we live in. why there's so much conflict around us, so many things that seems like coming at us 100 miles an hour, that we're distracted from the things of God. And as a child of God, we're instructed to serve Him and to be a light and a witness for Him. But oftentimes we veer and go a different direction because it better suits the lifestyle that we're living. And it just makes our life a whole lot easier. But Paul right here, he starts out in the first of this chapter, and he's telling them that there's some things that need to be in their life of service unto God. And the service unto God is a big part for the child of God. If we don't serve Him, there's not going to be any joy for us in our heart and life. But when He comes around in the first few verses and He tells them that they need to serve the Lord, He tells them why, and He reminds them why. And I believe that's why we don't serve God the way that we should, is because we're not in remembrance of Him like we're instructed. We don't remember who He actually is like we should. We don't remember the things that He's done for us like we should. We put that aside. It's easy to pull that back into our memory when we're in the house of God on Sunday. But what happens down when we get the workplace on our mind on Monday, or the schoolhouse, or wherever it may be, we get so often sidetracked from the things of God because we don't remember the things of Him.
Right.
Business seems like it picks up a lot of times when we begin to remember what's going on, forget about what's going on in our life, and remember the things that He's done. You know the times that I'm talking about when it seems like you just break down before God and pour your heart out and begin to thank and praise Him, and the Lord begins to move and bless. And it's not that the Lord has went a distance away from you, but it's that we've drifted away from God. And that affects our service. So this morning, if the Lord will help me for just a few minutes, I want to just give you some things, some names of the Lord that should be brought into our remembrance to encourage us to keep going on for the cause of Christ. He tells them to serve the Lord in the first few verses, but in verse number 9, he hits on the name of the Lord. He says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now we see that everybody knows that He is referred to as Jesus. Jesus being defined as a Savior, a Deliverer, one that would rescue out. And just the name of Jesus would bring conviction upon a life from the definition of the name. And it should bring joy into our heart and life as a child of God. But too often times that's just a name that passes us by. And we don't really grasp a hold of what that name should mean to the child of God. We take it as He was one that died on the cross, you know, and da-da-da-da-da, and let it go. But we don't stop and ponder what Jesus would actually mean to us. As a Savior, as a Rescuer, as a Deliverer. We see throughout the Word of God there's other names that are mentioned that point in the same direction, but break it down a little further. There's over 200 and some names that refer to Jesus throughout the Bible. I'm just going to hit on a select few. As I was going through, I was going to group them out in different groups and try to make it more consolidated in certain areas, but the Lord just kept leading us in three directions. One protection, one is comfort, and one is salvation, and grouped the names under those three groups. So I want to start out as inside of the Word of God, Jesus is referred to under the idea of a protector for the child of God as the blessed and only ruler. He is seen as the eternal King, the ruler, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. For the child of God, we don't think as much about the kingship as what they would back in the day in which the Bible was wrote. The kings would they would rule over a allotted amount of people, a nation. And that king would stand and rule there until another one had arisen up against him and overthrown him off the throne. And then all the servants of that king, their loyalty had to switch to somebody else. But inside of the Word of God, it's listed as the only ruler, the blessed ruler, the eternal king, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. What the Bible is referring to Jesus as for the child of God is He's a king that's never going to be conquered. Yes. For our protection as a child of God, He is the king that has already won the victory. Yes. Everything has been settled.
You and I have nothing to worry about. We can have peace. He's talking about inside of the heavenly scene for the child of God. You know, He watches out and protects us down here. He keeps a hand and a hedge around us. Doesn't let anything get to us. But there's a coming of day. Just as Isaiah had seen, He's high and lifted up. And you and I are going to see Him on the throne as the eternal King. When it was mentioned as the line of the tribe of Judah, there was an encouragement to the Jews because they were looking for somebody that would set up that throne, which somebody that could never be conquered. That victory was given unto Jesus when He died on the throne, or died on the cross, rose again, and sat on the throne. That victory was set at that point for the child of God. Not only is He the ruler, the King, and the line of the tribe of Judah, but He is the cornerstone for the child of God. He is the one that can be built off of, that cannot be swept away. He is the strong point of the church. He's the head of the church, as He's referred to inside of the Word of God. He is referred to as the rock inside of the Word of God. You think about a rock, and I'm not talking about a little gravel or something that you pick up out here that you can carry. But when He's talking about a rock, He's talking about something that is rooted deep inside of the ground. And there's the Broad River down in Lawndale. You could go through it and you could see how that water has got up at points to where it's hit the bridge. But then when it all goes back down and trees have been washed down and the banks have been eaten out, there's some rocks that just same place right in the middle. And that's what Jesus is to you and I. He is something that's not going to be washed away. He's something that's not going to be pushed around. He is a strong point for the child of God. And the Word of God would let us know that we are established and planted in that rock. This world cannot overtake you and I. But not only is He the rock, but He is the high tower for the child of God. The best way I can describe the high tower is what you and I would know as a fire tower. They don't use them anymore that I know of. But you go down the eastern part of the state, going to the beach, you'll see a tower that's real high that they would get into and they would look out and they would see if there was any fires. There's some on South Mountain. But what that done is they could see a long ways out. And if there's a little bit of smoke that had started, they would know that there was a fire there and they could get ahead of it before the problem ever arose to be big. That's what Jesus is to you and I. He is that high tower. He sees the problems that are surrounding you and I that we cannot see. He sees all the opposition that surrounds you and I that we know nothing about. And He sees it afar off, and He's taken care of it. This world would like nothing more than to destroy the church. And we're backing up, is the sad part. We're not serving, but we're backing up. But Jesus is the high tower that's keeping the enemy at bay. They can't get to us unless it's through Him. He is the chief shepherd and the good shepherd. Yes. What a shepherd does is when those sheep are sitting there, they're not very smart. They all huddle up together and they're not paying attention to their surroundings. And what happens is somebody or a predator can come in and they can overtake those sheep and because they've been unaware. Yes. But what that shepherd does is he gets them all together in the same place. And he's a sitting back and he's a watching. And if there's something that's going to harm those sheep, He takes care of the problem. He handles it. You know what I'm getting at right through here? We're not handling our own problems today. We've got things that come in our life that upset us. But God's keeping it all at bay. He's keeping it all off the child of God. We've got to recognize that. But it says that He's the Creator inside of the Word of God. Creator carries the sense that if I've created it, I can manage it. I can control it. So there's nothing in this world, no matter how wicked or vile it may seem, that's caught God off guard. That's right. He's taken all of it into account. He's letting things happen for reasons that are beyond my understanding, but it's for the good of the church. Yes. I wonder why the world's going this way and it seems like they're facing so much opposition. But somewhere, it's for the good of the church. Yeah. Andy brought up building this morning, so I'm going to just fall right into it right here. When we go to build a house, get in something we had never seen before, never had done before, and it wasn't working out the way the plans did, we'd sit there and we'd think about it for a minute, and if one of us, me, somebody else, usually the three of us to a crew, we'd be working, and he'd say, I can see what we need to do. The rest of us would just sit back and do what we were told to do from that point. And when it was all said and done and put together, it looked good. That's the same way for the child of God, with Him being the Creator. I can't see it from where I'm at. I can't tell what tomorrow holds. I can't tell what next week would hold for us. I can't tell you what this church has in store for it down the road. But He knows. He's seen the outcome of it already. Even though it ain't taking place yet, He's seen the outcome. He is the deliverer. The deliverer is something that you would, I would think, is somebody that refers to the name of Jesus as somebody that's going to rescue and somebody that's going to pull out. I can't get to heaven by myself. I don't know how. You don't know how. But when it refers to Him as the deliverer inside of the Word of God, I think of it as somebody that has come down and that has pulled us out and has taken us and put us in a place that we couldn't get on our own. That's what He is right now. He delivered us out of sin unto salvation. And one day, He's going to deliver us out of this world into a new world. It goes on. It says He is the gate. Inside of the Word of God, He's referred to as the gate. Not only the gate of salvation, but He is the gate to get into heaven if He is the gate of salvation. So what that tells me, all the opposition that I face down here, all the problems that I face down here, all the hardships that we would face down here, the sorrows, everything that seems like it turns our world upside down, will not be in heaven. Because it can't get through our Lord. It's just going to be joy and happiness and service unto Him. He is our gate. He is the living stone. He is the mighty God. He is our protection. He is almighty. What it's referred to in the mighty God and the Almighty is there is nobody that has more power than Jesus. You say, why is all this about how much He's got? Just encourages. Just encourages. I've got a couple lists stashed in a couple places at the house. I keep one in the truck with me just with the names that refer to Jesus on them. When I get down sometimes, when I get upset, when it seems like a day ain't going right, just pull out some of them names, and it'll bless your heart. We go to thinking about Him in the sense of being a comforter unto you and I. The Word of God would give many names in the sense of a comforter. I've just got a few written down. But the first I would recognize would be that of a counselor to you and I. I don't come around, I don't talk much to people about my problems or what's going on in my life. Because honestly, I don't think anybody needs to know about it. But when it comes to Him, I can get down on my knees and I can pour my heart out. And He's there. No matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what this world will throw at me, I can pour my heart out and He's always there. And He's already hit on it this morning. He is faithful, holy, and true constantly to you and I. A faithfulness that He is issuing out to you and I, and He's referred to as faithful inside of the Word of God, is a faithfulness even when we're not faithful unto Him. The true that it's talking about is if I was to do something and work with a piece of material and put some strain on it and then take the pressure back off of it, I would say, did it hold true to make sure it was still the way it was supposed to be? And that's what Jesus is to you and I. Yeah. He can take the strain of any valley we would cross. Yeah. He can take anything that this world would throw at us and remain strong throughout it and remain faithful throughout it. There's times in this life that we'll face things that people can't help us with because they can't bear to go through it with us. But He can. He can. He is the hope. In the midst of the darkest hours of our life, He is the hope of knowing that there is a better day. Yes. We may face valleys from the time that we've entered into this Christian walk to the day that we die. But there's a coming a day for the child of God. We can rest assured in knowing that we're not going to have to face Him anymore. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is referred to that in the book of Revelations. Our pastor's been going through that. He's referred to King and King and Lord of Lords as being the one that is going to be high and lifted up. He's not going to be overtaken. He's not going to be conquered. And in the midst of a valley, that would mean a lot to you and I. Yeah. Knowing that we're not going to be washed out by something that's coming our way. Yes. That He'll be there every step of the way. He is the mighty God in the midst of our valley, and He is the bright and morning star. When He say the bright morning star, we're not promised tomorrow in our lives. We're not promised that anything's going to get any better for us down here. But the bright and morning star, I believe, is referring to a better day that's a coming when we lay our eyes on Him. Yeah. He is the prophet. What a prophet was, is he was somebody that would get insight from God and give it unto the people. He is the one that has the insight. In the midst of our valleys, in the midst of our troubles. He is the resurrection and life. He is the one that has already defeated all the problems that could come our way. And is on life's other side where peace is at. Knowing that we've got a hope in that one of these days. He is the one mediator. And don't just say inside of the Word of God a mediator, but He is the one mediator. You and I cannot get to God. In the midst of the darkest hours of our life, we can't get unto God and throw our needs out at His feet unless it's through Christ. Because of the blood that's been shed. And the thing about a mediator is they're always listening to what you have to say. It don't matter what is said, what is said unto them, they got to translate that unto the next. That's what Jesus is does. He's got an ear inclined down unto you and I. Making each and every one of our needs known. Yeah. He is the sweet rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley for you and I. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, they are growing in the low places of this world, but still bring beauty, and the scent of it is beautiful. That's what He is in the dark times of our life. When we don't know where to go or what to do, there's still beauty. And what God's working out for you and I. May not understand it, but He is that rose of Sharon. He is our storehouse. What a storehouse is something that would provide everything that you need. In the valleys of life, He'll provide everything that we need. We'll have no wants, no needs unfulfilled. Our Lord will be faithful. In each of the valleys of our life. But not only do they refer to Him as our protection and as our comfort, but Jesus is referred to as our salvation. Inside of the Word of God, and there's a whole bunch of these. I've just got a few written down, but the first we see is He is listed as the second or the last Adam inside of the Word of God. We see the first Adam was created and put in the Garden of Eden, and you and I were condemned to hell because of the sin that was committed there. But He is the last Adam. He was the one that was born down here to die on the cross in order to give us eternal life. He is our advocate. What it means by advocate here is it carries the sense of He is not just making intercession for us, but He is making a plea for you and I. Yeah. The best way I can tell you of what this name is referred to in my mind is you got a judge setting up, which would be God. You got Jesus, which would be like a lawyer for us to be in an offended. And that lawyer would get up and he would go to telling what the defendant could not say unto the judge. And that's what Jesus would be doing to you and I, but He don't have to plead our case of how good we are or what's all went on in our life. All He stands up before God and says is the blood's been applied. And that's the advocate that we have. And because of that blood being applied, we've got the throne room right today unto a Heavenly Father. Because of the blood being applied, We've got that hope that I've already mentioned. Because of the blood that's been applied, you and I know that there's a better day coming. He is the Alpha and Omega, referring to the sense of salvation. He had thought of what needed to happen before this world was ever created. The sin in this world did not catch him off guard. He started it, knew that there would have to be a blood sacrifice. He is the Omega in the sense of salvation, that He finished the work on the cross of Calvary. When He died there for you and I, laid His life down, resurrected from the grave. He is referred to as the atoning sacrifice for our sins and the author and perfecter of our faith. We knew that there was going to have to be, He knew there was going to be a blood sacrifice. We see in the Old Testament, blood was shed over and over and over again by lambs and sheep and the doves and whatever it may have been to try to atone for sin. The beginning of the sacrifices had taken place. But He is referred to as the perfecter of that faith. Perfection of the faith because of the cross. Never another sacrifice to be made because of the blood that was shed for you and I. He is the bread of life, the gate, the firstborn from the dead. He is the one that, the one and only that can provide the salvation, because He is the one and only that holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He is the one that is referred to firstborn of the dead, that resurrected Himself from the grave. He resurrected others from the grave while He was here on earth, but they would die again. But He resurrected and come out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He is the deliverer and referred to as eternal life. As I've already mentioned earlier, the deliverer being one that bring you out and put you somewhere where you couldn't get on your own. The eternal life, something we're going to live forever in joy and happiness. He is the great high priest. The great high priest is referred to as a high priest just a little bit better. Those high priests would have to make the sacrifices over and over and over to atone for sins. He's the one that went in and made the one sacrifice, and it covered all sin. He is the great high priest because once this sacrifice was made, He sat down. There was nothing else to be done in the picture of the sacrifice anymore. He is the horn of salvation and the light of the world. He is referred to as Lord and our redemption. You and I cannot save ourselves. Couldn't do it, no matter how hard we tried. But He has redeemed us. He is our righteousness and our Passover lamb. When we begin to think about our advocate, when we begin to think about our mediator, we can't think about it unless we think about how filthy our righteousness is. Righteousness is the works in which I've achieved and the things that I've accomplished in my life. And I'll tell you, it's nothing. It's nothing. I couldn't get to heaven on my own, the filthiness of my life. But He is our righteousness. So when God looks down, it's not Him seeing me. It's not God seeing the problems I've got in my life. It's not God seeing sin in my life. But He looks down and He finds pleasure because He's seen the blood. When they're judged one of these days, this whole world going to be judged. I'm going to stand before God and not be judged for anything. You say, why? Because He can't see it. He sees me as blameless and perfect in His eyes when it comes to that. You say, why? Because it's His righteousness showing on my account. He is our Passover lamb. The one where the blood had to be applied to the doorpost in order for the death not to take place. That's what He is for you and I. Death, hell, and the grave is a reality for this world. But for the child of God, the blood's been applied. We're skipping out on all the judgment. Yeah. Our pastor's been going through Revelations and dealing with the seven seals, seven trumpet judgment. And we hear about the vile and wicked things that's going to take place in the destruction. We're not going to deal with any of that. We're going to be out. You say, why? Because He is the Passover lamb. He is the Savior. He is the way. He is the I Am. When I think about Him saying, I am the I Am, what that means to me is when I start out a sentence, if I say, I am, and then stop, you'd be waiting on something to fill it in. Yeah. What are you? There's a blank space there. He is everything to the child of God. Everything we could ever need, everything we could ever want, everything we could ever desire, that's what He is for the child of God. I've never had a need He could not meet. I've never had a valley that He could not get me through. I've never had a problem that He could not handle. You say, why? Because He is the I Am for the child of God. He is Emmanuel. He is the Lamb. John referred to Him as the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. You and I have lost focus a lot of times of what He actually is. But the one that would excite me at the end of this one, but He is called the Bridegroom. In order to be referred to as the Bridegroom, it means there is going to be a marriage that will take place that has not taken place yet. For the child of God, all this should bring hope to you and I. He saved us. He has protected us. He is our comforter in this walk of life. There's nothing in this world that should persuade us to go a different direction. And one of these days, He's a coming back to take us home. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't believe it's going to be long. But He's been faithful up to this point for the child of God, and He'll be faithful up until the day that He raptures us out. See, what would happen then is they would be engaged to one another. And then there would be a period of time that they were separate from one another. And then the marriage would take place. And they would spend the rest of all eternity together. So that's what's happened right here. The world had got a glimpse of Jesus. He come down here and He died on the cross. Now the engagement took place because of the blood that was shed for you and I. And then He went away for a little while. Just a short while. But He's coming back again one of these days. And everything's going to be set right. And everything's going to be put at ease and peace for the child of God while this world is put in turmoil. Church, is He not worthy of serving?
Amen.
You know, oftentimes when I'm just as guilty of it as anybody else, too oftentimes I forget what He actually is to me. You know, I don't mind setting aside time on Sunday, but what about during the week? How much time have I set aside during the week of my life to remember who He is? To worship Him for what He's done. To be a faithful and a true witness. No matter what comes our way, I want to encourage you, church. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on.
Amen.
He's always been faithful and always will be faithful to you and I.
Amen.